Welcome to church. Oh gosh, that went quite really quickly. I'm about to do them again. I'm excited to speak for the first time in 2026. I usually have January off, but it didn't work out that way this year. So I'm here for January. But I have such a special announcement. Jazz, where are you going? Where are you going? No, we don't care about ice right now. So we are so excited to say, and we also are on Facebook. I don't know if you're not on Facebook, you didn't see it on Facebook. But Cole and Jasmine got engaged. Yes! Cole and Jasmine, stand up just in case people don't know who you are. Cole, stand up. They got engaged. We're so excited. Congratulations. We're all just going to be tracking now the engagement until the wedding. Ask them lots of questions. But what did you say? We all want to hear the story. We might get you up here later. we're so excited for you. Congratulations. That was the big announcement. If we put it on announcements today, I don't know how Elton would have gone with that. What do I have? Oh, are they? Let me see. How old? Seth and Jacob, are they here? They're really squirming in their chairs today. They're 18 today. Wow. I wish I could sing for you. Let's all sing happy birthday. Oh, Paul, that is awesome. All right. Happy birthday! That's awesome! All right, that's great. Great announcements. Do we have anything else going on? Okay. We do have a couple of really exciting things going on in February that I want to say that I was no way going to put on announcements. Next week, we have Millie. Where's Millie? Oh, Millie's in kids. We have Millie speaking next week. So Millie is finishing up her role as youth leader, and she'll be speaking next week a bit about her journey and what God's placed on her heart, and we're going to be praying for her next week. So if you are available to come and see that and hear that and be a part of supporting her and praying for her. And then the following week, on the 1st of February, we will be having our youth leadership team come up and speak about their heart for youth. And so we really want the church to journey this new journey of into our new of where youth is headed. So rather than just going, oh, this is what we're appointing, let's just pray for them, it's really where our church is headed and everybody's a part of it. So you'll hear a bit of their heart of youth and who they are and where youth is headed, as well as we'll pray for teachers and students and the new term and the new year, if you've got a new job, all of those sort of things, just really starting a new year in, that's the 1st of Feb. So that's coming up. 1st of Feb. Then, as you heard, we've got our table dinners starting on the 17th of Feb. And then we have our vision. Not vision, because visions don't really change when you have a church. But we have God's Word for 2026, which will be the 8th and the 15th of February. So that is the 8th and the 15th, if you do want to know when that is happening. And on the 22nd of February, in the evening, we have a C3 WA gathering. And that is happening at C3 Canvas. So that's at 6 p.m. 5 p.m. is the pre-hang. 6 p.m. is everyone's invited. And we've got our regional directors coming. So they're our Australia regional directors. They will be our guest speakers at C3 Canvas. They also Senior Pastor Darwin. We are privileged to have Megan, who, yes, we're very excited. She'll be preaching here in the morning on the 22nd, February 22nd. So it put that in your diary. So I'm giving you lots of heads up. So the 22nd of Feb in the evening, C3 Canvas for both of them, Lars and Megan. And we have Megan on the in the morning of the 22nd. So that's in February. So you have a lot of heads up what's going on in February. Yeah? Oh, sorry. Flyer's coming out next week. So you can put them on your fridge. So I'm just giving you a little bit of a heads up so you just know sort of what's coming, what's coming up. So Neil mentioned last week, because we've got our summer series, and it was a little bit tricky for me to come up here, because I'm like, I've got all of this word for 2026 in me, and Neil sort of let it out the bag, the freedom to flourish, last week when he was up here. And I thought, how do I not let it out the bag, but let it out the bag? And I thought, what sort of seed do I plant today? That's a little bit part of the freedom to flourish. And so I'm going to sort of plant a bit of a seed. So our prayer is going to be changing this year. How we do it in church, how we're used to it. And so I wanted to speak a little bit about that. So that's one of the areas that are going to be changing in our church. How we pray, everybody prays differently. Everybody has their way of praying. Everybody, I know myself coming into being a Christian, so I don't know, some of you may know, all of you may know, I wasn't brought up a Christian. So when I came into church, audible prayer was my worst nightmare. I hated it. I'll be honest. I dreaded it. So when we had prayer meetings, if I could run as far away as I could from them, I would. So I sent Elton most of the time. Having little kids was my best excuse ever, until my conviction was bigger than my excuses. So then I had to come because I was working for the church and I had to be there. But it was, for me, it was how I sounded, the words that I would say, or somebody else said what I was going to say before it got to me. So now what am I going to say? It was so formatted in my head that, and then I felt like it came out wrong. Then I overanalyzed myself after of what I said. And hearing other people throughout the journey of how you pray, there was formulas, there was long prayers, there was words that were said, and some people would change completely when they prayed to when they would talk. And so you go, oh, I'm meant to put on this voice. I'm meant to say these words. I'm meant to do all sorts of things. So you sort of start to hear and you go, this is how I'm supposed to be. And without knowing, you create a formula. But then you hear it's meant to be really just speaking to God. It's meant to be talking to God. And then you hear people go, well, praying's not really my thing. And then you hear some people go, praying's really my thing. Then you hear, well, I try and pray, but I fall asleep when I pray. Or I'm going to try and pray, my resolution, I'm going to try and pray more this year. When I speak to Elton, I speak to Elton a lot. I know. I speak to Elton a lot. And sometimes I just send him memes. It's very nonverbal throughout the day. If I don't communicate with Elton for a day, which it does not happen. But if I don't, because he's been fishing overnight and he just does not message me. I feel it. It's because it's not been created. This communication hasn't created a formula. It's been formed. I don't go communicating with Elton's not really my thing. Or it's really my thing. Or I have a different voice when I talk to him. or I prefer long talks with him. Or I prefer shorter talks with him. Or non-verbal talks with him. It's just formed. When we get into, I have to formulate prayer, we've missed what God's called us into relationship. So Luke 11, 1-3, and we've heard this, but I sort of want to, in the next little bit that we have, spin it in a different way a little bit. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said, "What is familiar to most of us, or all of us, most of us?" He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus says this. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give you a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Most of us have heard the ask, seek, knock. And we know this principle. The more I bang, the more I'm persistent. Let's do that. The first century culture, it's not like our homes where there's all different rooms. They're in the same room, most likely same bed. They're all together. I remember when we moved into our first home, when we first got the key to our first home, we had just been with Elton's parents, so we had had the kids all, we were all in sort of one room anyway. But when we first moved into our first home, Patricia was with us, and she had one room, and Taylor and Deanna were in the one room. And Taylor had to go to kindy, so I had to keep Deanna asleep, yet Deanna didn't sleep if my hand wasn't on her. I was very sleep deprived, and my hand had to be on her. The moment I lifted my hand, she'd start crying. That would wake Taylor up. So I can only imagine if somebody came knocking at my door at midnight, banging on my door because they needed snacks for their friend at midnight that was journeying to their house. I couldn't care less if you don't have snacks for your friend. That's a you problem if you do not have snacks. And I probably would have said that. Just like this dad pretty much said, "Go away. I do not have anything for you. My children are in bed." Because that's what he said. "I have just got my children down. Go away. It's a you problem that you do not have bread for your friend who's traveling at midnight for a snack." Because that's what he's asking for. And we have this knock, seek, find deal, but we're not actually going, this man's coming for food for his friend who's journeying at midnight because he needs food for his friend. So in the New King James Version, the word is in importunity. Is that what I say? Yeah. Important unity. Anyway, it means shameless audacity, but it's in a negative term. It's not going, he's persisting in a really good way. It's the audacity in a really negative way. So this is how Jesus is using it. It's a really negative way. That this guy got up, this friend got up, and he said, because of his shameless audacity, this neighbor got up and gave him what he needed. So out of a negative term, this neighbor got up because he persisted and because he banged. And then I was reading this, I was like, most of us in 2026 are probably not at this point where we're going. Some of us might be. Some of us might be in Jasmine and Cole's era going, this has started really well. We just got engaged. But some of us might not be. Some of us might be in this, I can't actually have the energy to knock much right now. I don't have the energy to bang. I don't have the energy to be persistent. I don't have the energy to stand here or get up in the middle of the night and be banging on the door so God can hear me, because I don't have the energy. I had a really bad 2025, or I'm standing at the edge of something that's not really good. So I don't have the energy to bang right now. And this is saying, bang and be persistent. And yes, we need to be persistent. Don't give up. This neighbor came, really this neighbor came for a need. And this neighbor came for somebody else's, a need for somebody else. This was a need. So don't give up. I'm not saying let's throw this out. Don't give up. Be persistent. Yes, through a need. Keep knocking. Keep banging. But I want to look at it on a different angle. What was on the inside? What was on the inside of the house? There's a professor, Craig Bloomberg. He's a New Testament scholar. And he writes this parable in a little bit of a different way. So he writes this, he writes this parable of, because most parables, when it speaks about the dad, speaks about the dad being God. When he speaks about, when Jesus speaks about the children in all of his parables, it's the children of God. So when we look at this parable, it speaks about the children being so close to their father that they were in bed. So rather than us looking at it like we're always on the outside banging, I want us to look at it like we're on the inside so close to the Father. Because when we're on the inside, we're so close, it's like he can feel our breath and we can feel his breath. We're not always having to come back. We're not always having to be banging. I'm 47 years old. Me and my mother, we've had disagreements in our lives. I can still, in the middle of a disagreement, call her. She's there. She's not going, Lisa, I need you to get on the outside and I need you to go banging a little bit until I answer the door. No, she's there. When our proximity is so close to him, we don't need to be banging. There are times we need to be persistent. There are times where we are coming for a need, where we need to be getting up, where we need to be persisting, where we need to be banging. But the proximity that we have to God, when we are consistent, when we're speaking, when we're just not formulating something, when we're just formed, when we're praying out of closeness, when we're not praying to be close to get into that room, when we're just in that room, there's a difference in that when we're on the other side of that room. And he speaks about that neighbor being the outsider. There's different scholars that talk about whether they agree with what the outsider means or not, but whether whatever they agree with or not, it's still the outsider. It's still somebody on the outside versus the security, relationship, the closeness of the children in bed in the one room. And this father says, my children are in bed. My children are with me. That's the closeness that we have. these holidays, and I don't have this algorithm where I look up this sort of stuff, but we all know that when I took on this role, there was a lot of, I had a few messages and quite a few things come at me about women being pastors and speakers and all that sort of stuff. And I struggled with that. And I had to go into all the different women and why that's not the case and why Jesus and Paul and all of that endorse women in the Bible. I had to go through that study. And I did. And I was confident in that. These holidays, I would open my phone and every day I had a new reel or a new post that was trying to tell me that's not right. And I'm like going, I don't understand. I would open this, I would open my phone and these reels were coming up. And I'm a rabbit hole and I go into comments, as we all know. And I'm going into these things and I had to go, what am I listening to? What am I actually allowing myself to flood my mind with? What voice am I listening to? And I remembered that a while ago I heard Christine Kane speak on something of this. And in Genesis 3, 9 to 11, when they were in the garden, it says, but God, the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that? And so many of us, whether you're young and old, it does not matter. The who doesn't discriminate with your age. Who told you that you weren't supposed to? Who told you that you weren't good enough? Who told you that your time's done? Who told you that that person was better than you? Who told you? Who told you that you weren't supposed to speak? Who told you that? Because God sure didn't tell you that. The closer you are to him, the more those words disappear. And I had to go, okay, where's my proximity in this break? What am I actually listening to? Who am I listening to? What voices am I listening to? Where's my closeness? Am I inside the door or am I outside the door? Am I the one banging? God, I need you. I need bread. Or am I inside the door so close that I'm going, I hear your voice. I hear your breath. I feel your breath. Where am I standing? Where am I standing? Because when you're far away and you make your way back, you're the one shouting. You're the one striving. You're the one banging. You're the one begging. That's what we're doing when we're on the outside of the door. When we're close, we don't even have to reach. We don't even have to reach because he hears our whisper. We can rest. We can trust because we know who we belong to. So this year, I feel so many different prayers. So many different prayers we're going to go through. We're going to break it down in over the couple of months. But there's silent prayers, breath prayers, examined prayers, simple prayers, intercessory prayers, prayers of tears, healing prayers, heart prayers, Sabbath prayers, contemplative prayers, bold and radical prayers, gratitude prayers, sanctified prayers. The closer we are to him, the less comparison grips us, the less fear controls us, the less shame defines us. The closer we are to him, the louder his voice is. The more his truth replaces every lie, and the more freedom replaces fear. And when we allow ourselves that freedom, that's where we flourish. Because we can sit here and say, freedom to flourish, but if we don't give ourselves freedom, we don't have it. We can all say being Christian is freedom, but if we don't allow ourselves and we put ourselves in this box, there's no freedom there. It doesn't matter how free Christ makes us, there's no freedom. So where are you standing is the title of this message. Are you standing on the outside? Are you standing on the inside? Are you hoping, begging, knocking louder? Hoping he'll hear. Oh, we inside praying like sons and daughters, close together in bed with God, with our Father. Because when we're that, we don't have to convince ourselves that God cares. we're already in the room. We're already there. So I'll get the band up. So this week, you can all stand. So I want us to be able to pray into this, because this week, when you're praying, when you're speaking to Him, I want us to think about it in a different way. I want us to think about it like we're in the room. Not that we're banging, not that we're hoping for something, but that we're right there. That we're on this side of the room. That we're already with Him. There's such a different mind shift when we look at it like that. And if you've got voices that are speaking to you, just lies or negative things or things that aren't truth, and you know it, it's not like we don't know these things. We know it, but we entertain it. Try praying from the closeness of this side of the room and knowing who you are, who you belong to, that you're on this side, because you already belong on this side. You don't need to try to convince yourself you belong on this side. He doesn't need to try to convince you you belong on this side. And if you've been trying to come on this side, just come on this side. It's not a hard thing to do. It shouldn't be a hard thing to do. We're going to finish a bit up, but I want to pray for us as we go into this week. Because I'm excited for this year. Because freedom, it doesn't come lightly. And freedom, so cliche says you're free, but freedom, when it does, when it's real, when it's true. Because we can all pretend we're free, but we're all locked. But when it's truly freedom, and I'm still going through that personally, so I want to know what that feels like on the other side too. So I'm excited to journey this together this year, because God's given that, and living that in real time together, I think is going to be an amazing year. So, and journey together. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be on this side of the room, that we get to belong, that we get to know that you say, your words are that you've chosen us, you love us, you're with us, you say that we're loved. They're your real words and voices to us, Lord. So any voice that comes to us that's not of you, we cancel that out in the name of Jesus. And we know that we belong, and we know that we're loved, and we're on the inside of the room with you, because we're your sons and daughters. We've been adopted into your family. I heard something, I can't remember what culture it is. It could be the Chinese culture, I'm not actually sure, so don't quote me on that. But it's some culture that if you are a son or a daughter biologically, you can be given up. But if you're adopted into that culture, you can't be given up. There's something like that in some actual culture. And to put that into the kingdom of God, being adopted into His family, and to know that you can never be given up, like, that's an amazing thing. You can never be given up when you're adopted. You can't, it's not so flippant that you go, oh, I made a mistake and He let me go. And that's what we feel when we look at this parable. We go, oh, He's so angry and we got to keep banging. No. He's going, you're on this side with me. So thank you, Lord, that you bring us on that side with you in the house as children of you, Father, that we're your family, God, that you love us that much, that you say, you know what, you're so close to me. But you will answer the door for anyone that knocks. Anyone that knocks, you will answer. But we get so privileged that we're your children, that we're right by your side, that a whisper you will hear, that a whisper, God, that a breath, Lord, that you will hear, Father. So we thank you, Lord, that we are your chosen family, God, that we are with you, Lord, that you love us, Lord, that we get to love you, God, that we get to journey with you, God, that we get to journey together as family with you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you bless everybody, God, that they get to pray and journey and talk to you this week as they're on this side of the room with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the